Spiritual idea. But over time in some churches, Lent has become a sacrificial ritual or a fad, and rather than an experience for spiritual growth. Now people began giving up activities such as smoking, alcohol, chocolate, or sex, anything pleasurable to them, as a sacrifice for Lent. But it was always with the intention that after 40 days, they would give up that suffering and go back to engaging in their pleasure again. This is not what Lent is about. For the past 5 weeks, several of us have been studying the Let Go, Let God book. On page one of this booklet, it says, Charles Fillmore suggested that we release negative thinking during Lent. He believed the best preparation for Easter would be to clear and renew our minds with the awareness of our own divinity and inner power. Now, Jesus taught that prayer and fasting are the sure way to spiritual powers, the way to keep the soul cleansed and purified so that we may feel the presence of God. Giving up ice cream or video games for a brief period of time will probably not purify and clean your soul. Instead of giving up things, The booklet encourages us to let go of our low vibrational human ego traits, such as shame. This is just a few of them. Shame, resentment, anger, anxiety, fear, grudges, the past, outdated beliefs, perfectionism, and worry. And that was just like the first 2 weeks. Those can really be cleansed by the time you get done with this book. Those behaviors and beliefs keep us prisoner of our own ego and slave to our cultural expectations. These self-centered human fears are what keep us from our own divinity and our own inner power. Now, when we stop focusing on worldly expectations and rewards and focus instead on our divine attributes, our suffering ends. Releasing our ego requires contemplation, prayer, self-reflection, commitment to inner work, and taking loving action toward ourselves and others. In the 5 weeks that our group has met, people are experiencing a new freedom and a new happiness as a result of their self-honesty and commitment. We have 2 sessions left, and you are welcome to join us for those last 2 sessions if you like. They're on Tuesday evening and they are on Zoom, so just let me know if you're interested. We would love to have you. The modern Lenten approach that focuses on giving up pleasures is not a preparation for spiritual work. In this approach, we are only temporarily giving up a physical something that is outside of ourselves. In the Unity Lenten approach, when we give up outdated, harmful, limiting behaviors and beliefs, we are cleansing and purifying our soul. This is true preparation for spiritual work because we are making a permanent change inside of ourselves. This frees us and transforms us. We become new people, new spiritual beings, with more awareness and more access to our own divinity and inner power, which Charles Filmer was talking about. We become powerful instruments of the divine, and we become aware of and access our divine powers. Now, before we become aware of our divine nature, we live in resistance to divine good. Now, that might sound like a weird statement, but it really is true. A mental state of resistance and an unyielding personal will is destructive to human consciousness. Resistance is our ego run riot. All of that inner strife and friction causes a great deal of suffering. We think we are moving towards something when we seek human success and rewards, but we are really moving away from our divine selves. We stop the flow of energy into our lives when we resist change and spiritual growth. And we had walked the talk this morning, and we were talking about the flow of life and how to keep that going. It was a wonderful experience, and it's the 3rd Sunday before church at 9 o'clock. So you're all invited to come to that. It's a wonderful experience. The Lenten season is all about non-resistance and moving toward our divine self by letting go of our human foibles. Now, many of our human earthly activities are a form of resistance. Humans do not like change. Oh, there was a response there. A moan went up. Our culture tells us that to feel safe and peace, we must be in control. We feel unsafe and threatened when we lose control or when we perceive ourselves as losing control. But being in control does not give us peace either. So we reside in this dilemma. We resist the quiet contemplation of a spiritual life because being alone with God may be uncomfortable. And being alone with our own thoughts, which are sometimes monkey mind, those little gremlins inside of us, they keep going around and around and getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We don't like those either, okay? So we feel uncomfortable with that too. We end up with a battle inside of ourselves, reaching for more false idols like food, alcohol, and anything else that we hope will make us feel good to quell that elusive inner discomfort. Now, this inner struggle is so prevalent that during 2019, and this was the year before the pandemic started, 10 million people took anti-anxiety medications. 30 million people took antidepressant medication, and 12 million people used sleep aids to combat insomnia. 52 million American adults were taking drugs just to feel normal. That's 20% of the adult population. And that was before the isolation and trauma of the pandemic. So it's probably much higher now. We medicate ourselves to suppress feelings of inadequacy. For example, men and women, and even children, seek diets, drugs, natural remedies, procedures, and surgeries to make their bodies look young and beautiful. People are so obsessed with chasing the illusion of appearance to look good that there is currently a shortage of the drug Ozempic. Now, Ozempic is a diabetic drug, and a side effect of that drug is rapid weight loss. Non-diabetic patients are pressuring doctors to prescribe the drug to them for weight loss. And this overwhelming demand by patients has depleted the supply that is available for diabetic patients, placing these patients sometimes in harm's way. Now, as a nation, we are obsessed with appearance and being accepted. When we worship idols and chase illusions, we fall deeply into a material consciousness trap. Here's a good example. Have you ever done this? Someone gives you a compliment. Boy, that's a beautiful dress you're wearing today. And you say, oh, yes, but I got it at Goodwill and it was only $5. Or if you're the intellectual type and someone says, hey, you've got a great score on that test. And you say, well, yes, but if I had studied harder, I could have got a better grade. We diminish our qualities and achievements with false humility when we focus on cultural expectations. Saying yes, but is a form of resistance. Resisting the good that someone and God is trying to give us. It carries a sense of, I don't deserve your compliment, or I'm not good enough. I had those feelings of not good enough when I was young. I went on my first diet when I was 13, and I have continued on and off, losing weight and always gaining that weight back, plus more. I don't know why I kept going on diets. I would gain weight. I was seeking happiness through people's approval and validation. And it turns out that the more that I said yes, but, the bigger my butt got. until I finally just said the hell with it. I let go of culture's demands that I look good and fit in. I started enjoying what I was eating. I chose to eat things that were not healthy. And I gained more weight. But because I had let go of the limiting behavior, or the limiting belief, that my self-worth was dependent upon my appearance, something was freed inside of me. Now, I really believe that the Holy Spirit watches over me, and I hope that you believe that too about yourself. And when I would eat something from my three favorite food groups, which are sugar, starch, and grease, Holy Spirit would nudge me and say, do you really want to eat that? And I say, yes, I really want to eat it, and I would eat it. Now, I knew that Holy Spirit looked out for my best interest. And when I declined its support, Holy Spirit never judged me. I never felt judged by the Holy Spirit. I always felt loved by the Holy Spirit. This went on for about 6 months. I gained more weight. But then one day, I looked at that food that I loved so much, and it no longer appealed to me. Something had changed in me. I believe the Holy Spirit was holding me in love this entire time, preparing me to redefine my relationship with myself, God, and with food. Now, focusing on losing weight was not the answer for me. I had tried many diets and it had never worked, so it was not a permanent solution. That's what I was looking for. So I prayed for an answer. And then I received this message from the Holy Spirit. Instead of your challenge being losing weight, how about if your challenge is gaining wellness? Don't resist and focus on what you don't want. Embrace what you do want. Don't resist, embrace. And I thought, this could work. I would not be feeling deprived and internally at war with myself. I would be moving toward harmony, balance, and peace. I would be holding myself in love like Holy Spirit had been holding me in love. A little tweak in my goal, from losing weight to gaining wellness, was all it took. I stopped resisting, and I started receiving Holy Spirit's guidance. I opened my fists, and I received the gift from God. And like a whirlwind, and I mean to tell you, it was like a whirlwind, Holy Spirit bounded into action. It led me to watch the right video. It led me to people who could teach me the benefit of whole food plant-based eating. It led me to a plant-based restaurant 4 miles from my house, maybe 3 miles, I don't know, and a cooking school. My husband, who is the cook in the family, cooperated fully in meal preparation, and that was a miracle. And because I was no longer wasting energy resisting the conflict inside of me, I now could share my freed up energy with my husband. And our relationship has grown deeper. Not only did I begin dropping pounds, but vegetables, which had previously been my enemy, was now appealing to me. I felt tremendous, and that was 2 months ago, and I still feel tremendous. My entire being, my physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies are becoming balanced. Because I stopped idolizing an illusion. I stopped trying to live up to unachievable expectations. I will never, ever look like the women in those beauty magazines. Never. None of us will. You know why? They're photoshopped. I cannot photoshop myself, and I don't want to. So I let go of resistance to change, trusted Holy Spirit, chose to see a different perspective, and let go of outcomes. I didn't care how much I weighed. I'll lose it when I lose it, and that's not my goal. My goal is to be well. I chose to follow Holy Spirit's guidance to eat the whole food that God was providing for Mother Earth. I focused on developing a permanent, divinely inspired lifestyle instead of focusing on a temporary human solution of being in control and seeking others' approval. So what is your challenge? I'd like you to do something. Write down on your bulletin or on a little piece of paper a challenge that you would like to let go of. So go ahead and do that now. Just a word or two to represent to you what your challenge is. You don't have to write, you know, two or three paragraphs or anything like that. Unless you might want to, I don't know. This is for your eyes only. Now, what I'd like you to do is put an X, just an X, through that challenge. Just an X. Now write the word God, or Spirit, or Source, or Universe, or whatever your word for God is. Write that name over your crossed out challenge. Now, since the Lenten season leads up to the crucifixion and resurrection, this little exercise is symbolic in nature. Metaphysically, the crucifixion means the crossing out in consciousness of errors that have become fixed states of mind, in order that the Christ mind may be expressed in all its forms. Resurrection is the rising into a new level of spiritual awareness to express the Christ mind. You're crossing out your challenge on paper symbolically represents your letting go of it so that the Christ mind in you can be expressed. Letting go of your challenge allows you to resurrect or to rise to a new level of spiritual awareness and express the Christ mind in you in your own unique way. No matter what your challenge, God is the answer. I believe God calls us to have a spiritual relationship with it. But perhaps the idea of God seems overwhelming or not practical. We have been afraid and have been trying and failing for so long to find peace and purpose because we have been worshiping false idols, false gods. Instead of tightening up our grip and trying to fix our lives, causing more anxiety, depression, and sleepless nights, let's try loosening the ties that bind us. Peace of mind comes from relaxation and a free flow of energy, not from bottling up in an internal pressure cooker of expectations and perfection. Non-resistance and letting go causes alignment with the spiritual within, spirit within, bringing forth a state of prayer and fasting from our negative thinking. Because that's what fasting is refraining from negative thinking. Stop forcing. Stop fighting. Stop pretending. Stop saying yes, but. Non-resistance is the key to peace of mind, patience, freedom, wholesome living, and the path to an abundant life. Now, the five principles are the foundation of unity. Since we have some new members, I'm going to summarize the five unity principles to show how our challenges are resolved by co-creating with Spirit. So, Sarah, Shante, can you give the next slide? So I'd like us to read this together. Unity Principle 1. God is an absolute good, everywhere present. God, the good, is all-powerful and everywhere. God is all good. It is when we know in our heart that God is good that the cultural hypnosis we have been operating under disappears. We are safe. We do not have to earn God's love or acceptance. God is good, absolute good, period, that's it. No ifs, ands, or buts. God wants to give us the kingdom of peace, joy, and love. No strings attached, no hidden agendas. You can come and go at will. If you ignore God's guidance, like I ignored the Holy Spirit promptings, God will still love you. God treasures you. God created a banquet for you, for all of us to party in. We are all invited. Having faith and understanding that God is good is the first step toward peace of mind. Shante, can you go to the next, or Sarah? Thank you. Okay, so let's read this one. Unity Principle 2.
Human beings have a spark of divinity within them, the Christ Spirit within them. Their very essence is of God, and therefore they are also inherently good.
Inherently good. We are not broken. We are not sinners. We sometimes may make decisions and act as if we are broken or sinful, but we are inherently good. Our essence is God's essence. We have within us divine powers that, when confirmed and activated, will change our lives for the better. How do we access those powers? Unity Principle 3. Next slide, please. Okay, so let's read this one. Unity Principle 3.
Human beings create their experiences by the activity of their thinking. Everything in the manifest realm has its beginning in thought.
This is the law of mind action. We human beings create our life experiences through our thinking. Thinking is a holy and creative process. We relate to the world and to God through our thinking and beliefs. Remember what Jesus said. When you pray, believe that you have received, and it is yours. Thinking is our superpower. You didn't know that you were superheroes, did you? Well, you are. But if our thinking is negative, how do we change that? Unity principle number four. Okay, let's see that slide. Unity principle four. It's a feeder.
Prayer is creative thinking that heightens the connection with God and therefore brings forth wisdom, healing, prosperity, and everything good.
Prayer is the most highly accelerated mind action known. Prayer is creative thinking that heightens the connection with God. Through spiritual alignment, affirmative prayer, and meditation, we connect with God and claim the good in our lives. When we pray affirmatively, which is to raise up our consciousness to our divine wholeness, the door opens to new holy ideas, and life will bring us the good that we seek. So let's look at the last unity principle. Unity principle five. Okay.
Knowing and understanding the laws of life, also called truth, are not enough. A person must also live the truth that he or she knows.
Now this involves action. We put into action the principles that we are living. When we realize that we are powerful, co-creative divine beings, we want to serve with joy. It is a natural phenomenon. Now I'm going to show you an easy way to remember the five unity principles, because I would like you to engage them in your life. So, next slide, please. I'd like you to make a loose fist, just like this, okay? And then, with your thumb, stick your thumb out and say, God is.
God is.
I am.
I think. I pray. I live.
It's a simple way to use it. I think they use that for kids. But it works for adults too, because we're all just big kids, right?
Yes.
These principles help us stop saying yes, but, and teach us to say yes to God's wonderful gifts. It invites us to peace, joy, and love. If that is what you want, come to the party. Let's go to the party. So let's get comfortable. We're going to move into meditation. Take some deep, slow breaths and get quiet. Close your eyes or focus on something in the sanctuary. As you breathe deeply and slowly, realize that getting quiet is the first step in knowing who we are. Our answers lie in stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Anxiety has no power over us because God's good surrounds us, fills us. Is us. Picture yourself shedding that challenge you wrote down. Those the beliefs that hold you back have no power in the stillness. Let that fear that has been haunting you for years, let it just fall away. Let all those limiting beliefs dissolve as you walk toward the light that beckons you. God awaits. Take a deep breath as you let go of those lies that you were told as a child. You are a beautiful child of God. Accepting that invitation and being filled with God's life-giving love. You expect blessings to come your way because you are a blessed being and you are the guest of God. God is your host. As we enter into this quiet time, focus on what a beautiful thing it is to be enough. That you are loved just the way you are. Allow yourself to let go and receive. For the awareness and the gifts we received in this short, quiet time, we say thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Now let's end with reciting the prayer of Jesus Christ. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.